This episode of The A-Team is brought to you by FaceToFaceGames.com, Canada's number one source for Magic the Gathering card singles.
They're going to have, like, their little foil stamp and everything like that. They're probably going to have, like, those ticket things where you pull the tab and it's like, this is a legit card! You know, like, bullshit like that.
Like a fucking, like a radio voice comes out. Yeah, you open the Bane Slayer Angel!
Welcome to the A-Team Podcast, brought to your ears by ManaDeprived.com, home of Canadian Magic.
In 2010, a crack Magic playing unit was sent to prison by the DCI court for crimes they didn't commit. These men promptly escaped from a federal pound-me-in-the-ass prison to the Canadian underground. Today, still wanted by Wizards of the Coast, they survive as podcasters of fortune. If you have a problem, if no one else can help, and if you can find them, maybe you can listen to The A-Team.
KYT.
He'll say to me, are you a pro?
Not really, I just have a website.
Then he goes, is it a pro website?
Jay Boosh.
They're like, holy fuck, we're both over here, man. We both can't be over here, man.
Scotty.
Like, I stared him right in the face. I'm like, I'm only here for the buys. He's like, so you only want the buys. I'm like, once again, I am only here for the buys.
And Jeremy.
As the A-Team fourth member, I promise the listeners that I will get that man to talk more. That is my commitment to you.
And now, the A-Team.
Welcome to fucking episode 162 of the fucking A-Team there. So, what's happening? This is Jay Boosh talking to you, fucking on air. And I got some other guys here, and not so great, but they'll do, you know. We got fucking Scotty Mac, Wicked Hard.
Wicked Hard.
Wicked Hard. We got fucking KYT, he's Asian, but that's alright, because he's not, like, from there. So, that's cool in America still. KYT, say hello.
Glad to be here.
And then I got this super scumbag guy, fucking judging everybody all the time there. Thinks he's so great, he's not so fucking great.
So hey, fuck that you, guy. Buddy. Fuck you.
Fuck him. Fuck that guy.
Fuck you.
Yeah, fuck me. Fuck your mother.
Don't you fucking talk about my mother? Fuck you. How's it going?
So we got a show.
Yeah, we got a fucking show.
Yeah, of course we got a show. It's
I don't
that
know
day.
What to talk about, but we talk probably got politics. Some stuff to talk about.
Well,
you guys been playing some Magic Crads lately? Fucking
been playing a bit. Been playing a bit.
Sweet.
Yeah. Played some sweet ass modern.
Sweet ass modern. Stream.
Yeah. Larry Swayze on this week. We were playing his crazy Xur deck, which is really just like a Deathrite Shaman Geist of St. Traff deck. But it also plays Xur the Enchanter, which is like a 1/4 flyer for 4 mana. And whenever he attacks, it lets you go and get an enchantment from your graveyard, or from your deck, rather, tutor it and put it on a play, which is really crazy.
You get to put it into play, like, enchanting something, don't you?
Is yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know how it works in, like, a real deck, but I know that it's in Commander. It's, like, one of the stupidest, like, commanders. That's technically correct, KYT.
That's Commanders.
Fancy, you take your fancy schooling out of here.
Yeah, I got to watch a bit of that stream, Scotty. It was a lot of fun. I actually started playing some Modern afterwards, so I kind of broke my rule of not wanting to play Modern right now.
Suck it?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's pretty much where we're at. But, yeah, how did you like the deck? How did you feel?
The deck was very good. If I hadn't already played 5-Color Tribal Flames, I would easily say that it's one of the best Geist of St. Traff decks that I've ever played. Like, easily. Because Geist of St. Traff with Steel of the Godhead is a whole other piece of machinery that I don't think anyone's actually ready for. It's pretty ridiculous.
Hmm.
Yeah. So it was really sweet.
I mean, I watched part of the stream as well, and you guys, when you mentioned the Tribal Flames deck, even Larry himself felt like he was really scared of that deck.
Yeah, the deck's very good. It's an extremely good deck. It just loses to Burn and Soul Sisters, but it's got extremely good game against everything else.
Hey, Soul Sister.
Blah, yeah.
The best thing about Soul Sister is it doesn't exist outside of Magic Online.
Yeah.
Oh, I disagree.
You disagree?
Yeah. Yeah.
Every
I've
joke
never seen that at a GP. Like
I see
never
it a
seen
lot.
It.
Yeah.
I think I would just laugh at the guy. Like, if he, like, dropped, like, a Soul Sister, I'd just be, like, you know, doing that, like, muffled, like, just laugh under your breath type thing like that. Like,
oh, yeah.
So you're saying you would judge him?
I would definitely judge him.
Huh. Interesting.
It's Soul Sisters. It's not a deck.
It should be a deck.
It isn't.
Oh,
my goodness. Yes. Agreed.
But no, it's very, very good. Very powerful. And we won games with Zur against Soul Sisters. Being able to tutor up a detention sphere is extremely good against a series of spirit tokens. And another card that I was really impressed with against that deck was Threads of Disloyalty, which is blue-blue one enchant target creature with converted mana cost two or less. So it's pretty sweet. But yeah, I had a great time. The deck was powerful. Larry was wicked. I can't wait to have him back. So it'll be good times, man. Be good times for sure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, after watching the stream, I jumped on and played a bunch of five-color Cruel Ultimatum control.
Oh. And how'd that go?
Oh, it was fun. It's great just playing like against, like, there's so many twin decks right now, and I feel like I can't lose that matchup.
Yeah.
So I was having a lot of fun playing that. And then after I won a few matches of that, I went and busted out the stupid Dude Storm deck that I had played at San Diego.
Yeah.
And that deck is just god-awful. Like, I can't actually come on the show and complain about somebody playing Soul Sisters and then talk about playing, like, that pile of crap. So
true.
Yeah, so. It has Mir Superion in it.
Oh, God.
That's a card. KYT, you got an article.
He did write an article.
That can't be true.
Captain's log.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was quite... I mean, Jay caught some of my tweets about the event, and it was interesting. So in my article, I go through my previous BTQ experience in Syracuse. Same store, but different location. It's play the game, read the story. That's their store name, which I always found kind of unique compared to the store names that I'm used to. But playing there, I felt like I won my win and end with Green Red Shrine. This was the last, this was way back, a few modern seasons back, maybe the first?
I think it's probably
even
the first one.
Way back then?
Like Green Red Shrine, yeah. It's one of the earlier seasons of Modern, and I thought I won my really close winning in against Jund, and going into the final top eight, I think I was, you know, maybe even as close to being like fourth place or something, but the store, the TO, decided to cut off the tiebreakers because they wanted to purposely discourage draws in the last round.
I remember that one, we talked about that.
And
what a bunch of Choda brain.
I mean, I guess it's fine, but not when, like, I find out later that it's against the rules, and knowing, like, what our breakers were, or actual breakers turned out to be, it was, like, an easy, safe draw for both of us, and that's what disappointed me the most, because I had to play him, and he was my worst matchup in the top eight. I was playing Green Red Tron, he's playing two Fennel, so he's playing 0-4 walls that I can't interact with, and he just two Fennel and kills me before I can, like Karn, I can just remove, like, It wasn't as fast as his two Fennel win. So, and, you know, on top of that, like, I may not have won the PTQ, but the whole field was, like, decks like Jund or Mana Elves plus Summoning Trap, which is, you know, really bad against my Pyroclasms.
Yeah.
So I really felt if I made it, I was probably the favorite to win. Because at that point, I felt really confident. Well, at that time, Tron was really good against Jund. So... anyways, fast forward like maybe 2 years to this, my first PTQ in a long, long time, took a long hiatus. Frank told me we had to pre-register because the cap was 200 and they had over 200 at some point in one of their tournaments. So I get there. There was a lot more people than I thought. Yeah, it was at one of their store locations. And I was like, please, dear God, please don't let there only be one washroom. And we ended up being 213. And surely there was only one washroom. And it
for
was
200 people.
213. It was one of those one person washrooms, too.
Holy fucking shit. That thing would have just been mono occupado.
You had this long lineup. And then there's this guy while I was lining up for one of the times I had to line up. This guy behind me is complaining. He's like, man, these have to be the longest pisses ever. I'm like, you know, they're not allowed to take, they're probably taking a shit, dude. Like, that's why it's taking so fucking long. So that was bad. And I thought maybe I misunderstood, maybe Frank misunderstood, but I had heard that there was a cap at 200. So they went over, and I'd heard it was because the TO was, you know, caved in to people complaining that didn't know there was a cap. So
TOs always do. It's always like, you know, F&M starts at 6 sharp, and then it's like, oh, well, you showed up at 6:55, so I guess that technically still has a 6 in it. And so you can just have a first-round bye. And then the guy's like, oh, I 4-0'd F&M. And he just does it every week. Every week he just happens to get a first-round bye and be late.
You just reminded me, like, you weren't on the show, Jay, when the PTQ in Montreal where me and Scott, you listened to it, where like a whole car came down late, but they got first round draws against each other instead of losses.
Yeah.
Probably should have had.
What the fuck is that shit?
Yeah, that's actual bullshit.
So for this one, I mean, they didn't even have enough for the cap anyways. They were clearing, it was like these long like boxes with all these comics in it, and they were moving them off the tables, and they were pretty fairly high tables that I knew. You know, they're just there to you know, put boxes of comic books on them. I'm like, if we have to play and I don't see any chairs anywhere, people are going to have to stand. And that's what ended up happening. Like, people were standing. I played standing for 4 rounds straight because the way they had to, like, they didn't organize the store properly at all, because the way it was organized, the people who had to stand were either, like, at the bottom of the standings or like somewhere in the middle patch. And because I was winning and losing, I ended up 3-5. I was like always in the middle somewhere, and I always had to stand. I'm like, fuck, I'm just not winning or losing enough to get out of this shithole. So, you know, a lot of people complain.
I would just not played that, but unfortunately, I guess, yeah. Like, when one person is like, I'm not going to support you by not spending my dollars, because that's what they say to do, and then 200 other people are like, fuck that guy, who cares? We'll fucking ban.
And KYT needs the Planeswalker points, too, which is the other issue.
Yeah.
And Frankie's value-obsessed. So, like, he went with Frankie Richard, right? And we all know Frankie, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it's like, if Frankie pays for something, he's going to, like, milk every last drop of possible value out of it, you know? Like, he's a shrewd guy like that, you know? And that's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Except when you're in a car with him to Syracuse and you're 3-5.
Wow.
Yeah. But thank God, like both of us saw it in a positive way, that I do need to be in a hurry to grind a lot of points to have buys at GP Montreal. And but him, we can't, like, boycott or anything. Like, we drove 4 hours there, so, like, it's one of those things where we're just like, we're there. We have to play.
Yeah, we have to play. Like, you're. But I mean, still, fucking shit cunts.
That's fucking space docking right there. That's what that is.
That is a snoodle.
No, but, like, even the judges were like, you know, they look like Amanda Stevens was there to, like, you know, kind of. Can't, you know, they can't really do anything, but it was, I mean, the TO, I saw, like, he has a Twitter account, he tweeted at Alain Bergeau to get in touch with him, so I hope, like, things solve. Like, one of the big things is, because I have never organized a tournament, I don't want to come across as judgmental, as I say in my article, because, like, it's so easy to say that, but I hope things improves. I hope people know, are ready for how many people, or, like, Wizards just puts it in that in TOs who have the budget to accommodate. Like, I gave shout outs to Kelly, who who's been able to do a phenomenal job. And like, all I hear about his tournaments is like the sheer amount of people that show up, but not the conditions. So big props to him. But I posted it on Reddit, and my article was like very much liked. It hit the top 10, and Worf even read it and said he was going to show everyone at Wizards. So
wow.
Hopefully things do improve. Like, I do have another PTQ going. I'm going to be leaving tomorrow night to Connecticut. That's a 5-hour drive with Frankie. So we're going to play X rounds, where X is the maximum round. but I'm excited to get back in the groove, because the main goal here is to really, I mean, it's harder to do well at a GP, but the aim here is to have a great time playing at GP Vancouver and get all the rust off. But I definitely made an insane amount of misplays with Mono Black. Mono Black is actually harder than, I mean, it's clearly too hard for me at this point. But
I made lots of misplays?
Yeah, yeah. Like, I thought, you know, so one of the examples I made, I said in the article, I was playing against Alex Bianchi, which is one of my writers, in round 4, when we were both 1-2 already. I had double Thoughtseize, and basically he showed me the only relevant spells he had were Supreme Verdict, Dissolve, and Divination. And, you know, sometimes debatable what it is depending on my hand, but I just failed to consider the fact that I didn't even look at his lands, which is a huge misplay, because he didn't have any white sources. So Supreme Verdict wasn't going to be cast anytime soon, and I was just like too worried about like having my rats or whatever threat I had in my hand getting, you know, swept, that I like autopiloted and discarded that in Divination, when clearly the right discards were, looking back, Divination and Dissolve easily, not close. And so I made like a lot of mistakes like that, where like looking back, maybe, you know, just tweaking like that play would have won me the game. My first round, I played against GMAC, actually, Glenn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the torch has not officially passed yet. Z crushed my face with Red Devotion. Like, it was Mono Red Devotions, like Boros, but okay. not the Young Pyromancer version, but his little specialty was Elspeth's Out of the Board, which he thinks is an innovation for that list. And I lost, and, you know, he was kind enough to say that one of these days I'll have a nut draw against him, because during Modern season, when I played Boggle and had my Cornet crazy turn, he actually just killed me with Malirapod. Like, he was one turn faster with, he went complete nut draw against me. So maybe, but he did play better than me overall. So I'm going to be playing Mono Black again, because I think it, like, Owen, like, took down the SCG Open, because, and he's just a master at that deck, that he's killing every single tournament with it. So it's still one of the best decks in the format. I just got to learn how to play before the GP, hopefully, and do better than Jeremy, and be incontestably still the best constructive player on this cast.
Hey,
it's Scott has a shot.
I've never lost
next you. Week. You've crushed me. Yeah, crushed me.
Let's be reasonable.
Yeah, it's true. You're 1-0 against me in sanctioned magic.
Sanctioned magic, even. Real sweaty, hairy tea, single bathroom sanctioned magic.
I mean, I was just hoping that there was, like, at least, you know, a stall. No.
You're gonna piss in the sink. That's what I would have done. And also, for those
just right in the comic boxes.
Yeah, for those of you that just record scratched, I've never pissed in a thing. that being said, apparently a lot of guys, especially tall guys, piss in sinks, and it's normal, and no one even blinks at that shit.
That's I'm tall, and I've never pissed in a sink.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Who fucking pees in sinks and shit?
But apparently, maybe it's just like maybe it's a U.S. thing.
It's like, I'm tall, so I'm gonna just piss in here. And then I'm going to run some goddamn waters and shit. And yeah, that's what's up.
What?
And that's weird, but that's what I would have done, KYT. 2,000 people at a PTQ.
Look, I'm happy that Magic's doing so well, but it was not. I want to have fun.
They need to adapt. Like, I don't want to be playing a PTQ in fucking 20 years and saying, like, remember the PTQ and the format was the same in 93? Like, it was with, you know what I mean? Like, it's similar to Magic Online. It's like, oh man, everybody just plays MTGO, so there can't be any problems. Let's just never upgrade our programming.
I don't know what the solution is. I don't really know how it works. Like, who gives them the budget? Like, how much money they expect to make? Is it all up to the TO himself?
Yeah, it's all up to the TO.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's all on them. They don't get anything special. They get access to more product if they ask for it.
Okay. But if they install, like Jay said, I'm sure, like, if they cap it and there's just, like, one or two, like, five extra guys, they're like, okay, you get to play. It's, like, hard to...
No, you fucking don't. What time does it say? It says sharp.
But sharp, it's free money. Early. If free you're not money.
Early, yeah, it's like if you're not early, then you're late. Get the fuck out of here.
Once the tournament is started, you can't add anybody else. Like them's the rules. Anything after that is just shitty TOing. So yeah. If it's like 200 what happened to people that car? And then they let 207 people? Like what happened with that car?
Yeah,
sketch. Sketch happened with that car.
What happens everywhere? It sounds
It's everywhere. It's everywhere. It's rampant.
Like, in order for like that to play out, in the way to make that legitimate is that you have to have those guys all registered. They all have to be considered registered. Then you have to have them all agree. They all have to be matched up against each other randomly. So it has to just happen that they all run into each other, get paired against each other. Then they all have to draw, and they have to communicate that back because, you know, even there, I think that you'd still probably get them on just failing to show up to the match, like just, you know, being tardy.
Yeah.
And that would, you know, result in game losses and all that kind of stuff. But, like, you don't necessarily really have to go to your chair. Usually you go there to get your match slip. But, like, I'm sure if you're in, like, a situation where it's, like, you and your buddy are there and you just happen to see the judge and, like, they have your slip, you could just be like, oh, yeah, we're drawing. Like, they wouldn't care. But it's just, like, you need so many things to happen. And the most important part is that you need these four guys to be paired up against each other randomly. And that just didn't happen. So that's, like, just straight up, like, fixing of the matches, especially at, like, an event to that level. Like, those four guys got paired up against each other. And, you know, that was based on their circumstances and stuff like that. And, like, that's not within the rules. Like, there's nothing about that being fair in the rules. So, you know, I'd hate to be the judge in that situation because, like, you walk away from that just feeling super sketchy.
Yeah,
you know, it's the TO, it's the TO and the
you can't do anything, right?
It's over your head in that sense, but I don't know. Like, I'd want to like issue some sort of penalty. It's like, oh, they're all drawing. It's like, ah, it's too bad. They all got match losses for being late. Like, that's kind of like the only thing you can do is like, I'm gonna have a stare down with the TO.
You might be successful. You're pretty good. You're pretty good at that shit.
It would depend if you had a beard or not.
Yeah, it really good. Is. It is. It would be. Definitely based on the beard.
Yeah, like the power is in that beard.
It's a good beard. Well, it's a little weak right
now. It was,
lest we forget.
No, it's coming back, but I have to go to work on Saturday now, so.
And you can't wear a beard at work?
Nope.
What?
Nope. H2S, man. Gotta be able to get a proper seal on my face in case dangerous gases try to kill me.
Oh, right. Yeah. Dangerous gases. I did not know about that. Is that like a fucking legal thing? Like everywhere or it's just a safety where you work? Thing. Just where it's you like work?
OH&S thing. It's not on all sites. It's on what they call brownfield sites. Yeah. So if we were building a plant and it wasn't running, I can beard right up, which was what I was doing for like the longest time. But now I'm on my plants. So it sucks.
Super sucks. Yep.
So, you still feel good about that mono black deck?
I feel great about the mono black deck. I feel, but playing more, I mean, John Stern didn't play against green red that often. And, you know, I think the matchup's actually kind of bad. They're faster in some, like yesterday or the day before, I was playing a two man and, like, I've stabilized, but, you know, they have, like, some innocent looking burning tree shamans. But then they land the green god, Nylia?
Yeah.
And it's just like, I can't do anything against that as the black decks. Like, the black decks can't do anything against these gods. And especially when, you know, they can trample over my guys. It was just, It just felt like the green red deck, just their threats are just so aggressive that I couldn't. I thought I was going to win. I thought I could just sit back and just make rats all day. But he just had a bunch of dudes attack me. And, you know, depending on how I blocked, just had, especially with Nyctos, was able to, like, do +4/+4 or, like, +2/+2 twice to any of his creatures.
Yeah.
And make it, like, so, like, there was no good blocks. And I also lost 0-2 against that deck at the PDQ, where the person just drew dragon after dragon and had planeswalkers that I also had to use. Like, my removal was very taxed. Like, Hero's Downfall had to be used on, like, an early early planeswalker, and then he would just play dragons, and I'm like, fuck. So, and Caryatid is definitely makes Devour Flesh
worse.
Way worse. Worse, right? It's, like, the only card that I need to use to kill it, but at that point when I have it, I'm trying to kill the dragon, but it just, he just sacks the Caryatid, and I'm like, fuck. So it seems to be a rough matchup, and it's growing in popularity due to CVM and BVD, I think. So that's going to be interesting. That's, like, I do want to play that deck. That reminds me, of course, of the green-red Kibler deck from last season. Obviously, Hellkite is way better, but the way, the aggressiveness, like Ooze and all those amazing cards in that deck, I don't know, it's pretty sweet. I'd love to pick it up and attack people with it. But Mono Black is, there's just these draws that are just insane. And I've been able to pack rat people. And the other deck, the only other deck I've messed around with is Mike Flores' deck, because I always get coaxed by him to touch it.
The red-white?
His red-white burn control deck, which, you know, I didn't do so. I went 2-2 in a daily with it. Obviously misplayed as well in that. It felt all right, but tonight I tested against my friend Barry, who is planning to play red-white at GP Vancouver. I was mono-black, and I think the games went 4-2 pre-board, 4-2 post-board in my favor. I mean, there's just... Gary just, like, stole quite a few games for me. And
he really, really does.
And it's just like he's... I can stabilize, and then it's like, Gary for 10. It's like, fuck. And I win. Even, like, I won games where people watching us thought were unwinnable for me because he had Assemble or even double Assemble. But I was able to, okay, he's still attacking me with these little tokens, and I'm spending my turn playing, like, triple black cards, and I'm holding two Garys. I'm like, I'm still going to win this somehow. And I did. So really feel good about the Mono Black deck. Like, Mike's deck is not... I'm not convinced it's a favorite against Mono Black, and it's definitely, as he would say, unfavorable against Mono Blue, but Mono Blue was not popular at the Syracuse PTQ. What was popular, and I don't know if it's going to be that popular at the GP, Jeremy, is Sphinx Revelation decks were the most popular at the top tables, and an A-team listener, Rob Vaughn, I think, he made top 8 because he was playing, I think it was based on Shahar's list, which is blue-white,
yep,
splash red, just for counterflux. And I'm pretty sure he played Sphinx Revelation decks most of the day and was able to use that spell to get him to the top 8. So that's a deck I might try out. Is it really worth the extra mana? Only if you're playing against control matches all day, I think.
I think, so the thing is the mana in a control deck like that, if you're only splashing for really just one color, like, you're almost better playing three colors than two in a long grindy control deck like that. Like, if you can leverage, because you've got what, red white, oh, you'll still only have one Scryland in that color combination.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think that's the issue.
So that's the issue. But, like, anytime you've got two Scrylands, a three color mana bases, like, in a long control deck like that, is just as good as a two color for sure.
Yeah, and you're going to be playing those Scrylands regardless. Like, the Scrylands are just very powerful. Like, you'll play an off-color Scryland just to get the Scry effect. So, I've had some success. Like, I've been playing the Mono Black deck online also, and I've had some success against that. I don't know if, like, that's the way it's supposed to play out, or if I've just been, you know, like, running lucky against that deck.
Are you talking about the green-red deck?
No, not the green-red deck. The white-blue with the splash red. I've run into it a couple times online, and I've done really well against it. It's all been Gary. That's the entire matchup is just Berberos out, Gary. And that's just been kind of like all I do is just drain his life. I don't really get very many attacks in. Like, I'll play a pack rat onto the table, and I'll attack with a pack rat and immutable. Just attack for four. I won't add anything else onto the board because I know he's got supreme verdicts and stuff like that. And I just play like a very attrition-y game and just try to get the most out of my underworld connections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Urbaros, and bring it back with the Urbaros. And it's like, it's so good because it's like all the creatures I put on the board, he keeps doing like last breaths on them, which just buys me like two or three more cards. So it's just like I can drop my life total really, really low and then just hope that I hit, you know, like the proper timings on like my duresses and thought seizes to hit Sphinx Revelation when I need to. So I've had some really good luck against that deck. I don't know if, you know, it's a good matchup or not, but I feel confident in it because I've played well against it. So
it's probably better than just a straight, like, Counterflux is not good against you.
So, no, Counterflux is just a hard counter. It's like something you just got to accept that's out there.
Yeah.
You know, it's more
they do side into an interesting card against us, which is Assemble the Legion.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Assemble the Legion, like, that's the thing, is, like, I just find that, like, I just wait until, like, turn three or turn four and then fire off the Thought Seize to see if I can hit it.
Yeah,
and, like, that's kind of what you've got there, and you just have to hope that they just don't get it, because you don't have a way to beat that card aside from just carrying them out of the game, like, at that point. So, yeah, it's rough, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the matchup is, I think it's really close, us against Blue-White. I think it's really close. It depends on, like, when do they draw the detention sphere? What time? Sometimes I've lost when, you know, they just had sphere and Sphinx Rev at the right time, and, you know, they're able to get me.
Yeah. Just for, you're talking on, like, beating, like, Nalia and stuff like that, and to another Thalia in the blue deck, like, the gods, and, like, how they're just, like, pretty much unbeatable for the black deck. One of the things that we've done is we've cut an Urbaros in our sideboard, and we're running Liliana.
Ooh.
And just Liliana's minus to, like, minus the god and blow them out of the game. Like, that has been our solution to that. And in the control matchup, you can still bring it in. Like, drawing a swamp every turn is good enough. So.
Hmm.
Yeah, because, like, drawing the swamp every turn is going to not only fuel a pack rat, potentially, but it's also going to make sure that you maintain your land parity, which is, like, super relevant for mana efficiency, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it's a really, really helpful card, and we also took out one Duress and put in a Doomblade just so we have more targeted removal against, like, the creature decks, like, something else that can kill a dragon. Because it's like, in Stern's list, his removal base is so gunning for the white-black deck that you just can't kill the Blood Baron that you need to kill. So by doing that, you, like, lose the ability to kill off, like, the cute creatures that you need to kill in the matchups where they can just drop a whole bunch of dorks on the table. So it's kind of rough in that spot there, where it's like against, like, mono blue, like, you're in the same boat. Like, you still have a bit of a tough time killing off Master Waves, although you don't really, because you still got the Phyrexis Cure and stuff like that. But it's just nice to have, like, that targeted removal that kills things that, you know, isn't just putting everything on the white-black.
Mm-hmm. So, interesting point that you said. You said that the mono blue match was almost non-existent.
Yeah. I didn't see, there was, like, we only saw one near the top tables. It seems like it's, well, at that PTQ, it was not popular. Okay. Whereas one of my car mates, he played mono black. There was eight rounds, and he had to have played 5 to 6 mirrors of mono black. So mono black and Sphinx Revelation were definitely the top two most popular decks.
Okay. And you said that the green-red matchup you feel is closer than you think, huh?
I think it might even be unfavorable for mono black. They just have so many threats, and it's just, like, they're actually faster and different forms of green red. I've lost to like the really aggressive Rampager version, because they can just, you know, Rampager over your rats, and even the Mahara version, which is it just ramps
the
into
devotion, yeah.
Yeah. So I found that kind of awkward, but definitely if I can go turn one Thoughtseize, turn two Rat, then that's, like, hard to beat. But some of the more average hands, I think I'm probably behind, because they just play any guy, and man, I don't know why I forgot his name now. The Planeswalker, the green-red for 3.
Domri Red.
Like, yeah, just Domri's you know, some decks have like Reckoner even, and they Domri my Spectre, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. The problem with Domri I find against Mono Black is that like you're really tempted, you just gotta keep jacking him up there. Like, it's a threat that eventually it's a form of card advantage, but more importantly, it's something that inevitably is gonna either demand your demon, right?
Yeah.
Or it's gonna demand a downfall. Right, because yeah, I mean, yeah, it comes down so quickly, and I mean that's a downfall that you're not using on like Stormbreath Dragon.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So,
or you have Xenagos. You like you play all these things. It's like I said, the downfall seems really taxed in this matchup. So,
I have so I've been playing some standard online. Ooh! I'm actually attending a PTQ on the 18th.
What?
Crazy, so
crazy. What?
I'm
filthy modern. Don't
I'm playing at that PTQ.
He brings a modern deck.
I'm no. Hey. So hold on. In all fairness, KYT, you need to bring your ghosts to that for me so that I can borrow them if I flunk out of the standard PTQ. Okay, and I can play the modern side of it. So
bring my ghosts.
So do that. But yeah. So there's a standard PTQ I talked about. It's one Kelly's putting on. So it's gonna be like ridiculous and absurd. But, like, it's, like, a 6K, and it's a fucking PTQ. Like, how do you not go to that? You know? Like, it's ridiculous. There'll be a pile of people there. But yeah, so I found a deck that I like, actually.
What do you like?
Well, oh. I found a deck that I like. Willie Edel.
Of course.
Broke it again. it's funny that you should mention the red-green matchup being bad for you. So Willie basically came out with a red green deck, but he splashes a little bit of white. And the cards that you splash for are three main deck Selesnya Charm.
Okay.
And in the sideboard you've got one Assemble the Legion, two Boros Charm, and three Chain to the Rocks. Because these cards are, and obviously the mana base accommodates it, right? Like, you're in a standard Naya mana base would be. You're like,
wow.
Stomping Grounds, Temple Gardens, Sacred Boundaries, Temple, Red-Green Temples, and then you're at, like, a pile of forests, a couple mountains, and one red-white temple. So you got five Scrylands, it's pretty good. With the Domri Raids and stuff, it's sweet. But, like, the splash is absurd. Like, Selesnya Charm against Mono Black is very good. Because all of a sudden, I'm, like, eating your demon for nothing. Or it's another Rampager effect. Or it's another 2/2 that I can use to sacrifice to devour flesh it and save my big, huge, dumb guy.
Yeah.
So it's been in a very, very good card against Mono Black in particular. And it's also a really good one to break open the mirror. So people are playing a lot of the red-green. So we've got main deck Selesnya Charm now. They like go, okay, we'll turn three Polukranos. And you're like, sweet, Selesnya Charm, attack, rampage, or kill your guy. Like, it's so good. So good. And Chain of the Rocks also is the same sort of thing. It's just like more early non-conditional removal. So it's the deck's been treating me really well. Otherwise it's very similar. You can find it on his Twitter page. I favorited it. So if you follow me on Twitter and want to go through my favorites, it's there. But I also have two main deck Witch Stalkers in this deck, which is the 3/3 hexproof, and whenever an opponent casts a blue or black spell on my turn, I put a 1/1 counter on it.
I assume there's some amount of inflinching courage somewhere.
No. No courages.
Just Gore Clan's good enough, though.
Well, three Gore Clans, three Boon Satyrs, and three Selesnya Charms will get the job done, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, and plus Domri Raid, too. Like, I've even been finding Witch Doctor's actually surprisingly good against Mono Blue, and also against Green White. You know, because he comes down sort of at the right time on the curve, and, you know, it's like it's beating all of their like beats boys, and it, you know, like it really clogs up the board really well at a really nice place on curve. So I've been really impressed with them. Initially, the list was four Boon Satyr, one Witch Stalker, and there was one on the sideboard. But just been so impressed with the card that, and so unimpressed with Boon Satyr in multiples that I've made the change, and I've been really happy with it. So yeah, the deck's been treating me very well. I'm starting to figure out how to play, and I'm starting to try to get some packs, start to farm a little bit. It's pretty nice. So I'm jamming this at the PTQ, and I'm streaming with it this week. So if you want to play some games, we can do that.
Is William available?
So I asked him. He's unfortunately too busy playing Modern right now. He's testing Modern for the Pro Tour with his team, and he can't come on the stream until after the Pro Tour because the team asked him not to, and that's all well and good. That said, I've got a pile of sideboard guides from him, and so I know sort of what I'm doing in my main matchups, and I'm pretty excited about it. The list is tight. Plays a lot of the cards that you were just complaining about, so that makes me happy. but what was really sweet about it, actually, is I was playing the Ontario locals will appreciate this. I was playing in a two-man queue, and I happened to come across Matt Mealing in the queues. So Matt was playing green-white, very much the Shrout list, I think. And so I was playing this list, and we went to three. But I ended up taking it out. It was pretty good. By game two, I drew like three spells, but that happens. It was awesome, and I really felt like I had the trumps every time. You know, like Selesnya Charm was a huge trump, and having Chain to the Rocks both board was insane. You know, and things like that. So it was very good. Felt like it's well positioned. If I can beat, you know, obviously green red has a fairly good matchup against aggro. I mean, post board you've got like four Mizzia Mortars and a pile of Chain of the Rocks. Like, there's just no way that deck survives, right? Polukranos is insane against the deck, and Domri Raid against any guy. So, you know, you're fairly well positioned against early aggro decks. Mono Black can be tough. We're slightly tuned to try to beat it. The problem is the blue-white matchups, like pre-board, you might as well just, like, they play Island and Plane, you might as well just scoop. Save yourself time and go to the next game, because it almost just isn't going to happen. You've got like 10 cards for it, 10 or 11 cards for it in the sideboard for the control matchup, but which gets much better post-board. But yeah, it's very bad. So if that's sort of the most predominant deck in the room, then you're probably in trouble. But it's been good. It's been very exciting. I like the deck a lot. Yeah. Mono Blue has been tough game
the
one.
The mana seems poor in this deck.
Well, see, here's the thing. It's really just a red-green deck. Like, there are literally 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 single points of white mana in all 75 cards. So, it really is the same mana as the red-green deck, except that you add the 4 Shocklands. Like, otherwise, which would otherwise be basics, which are basically bad for you anyway, right? So, the mana is functionally identical. You're still playing 4 Elvish Mystics, you're still playing Caryatid. So, like, the mana's actually not bad.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. I recognize that it seems brutal.
There's lots of doubles, too.
Well, all the doubles are red or green, though, right? And so it's really no different than the mana would have been without the white splash. There's literally zero consequence.
Yeah, I just don't like playing, like, decks where, like, every card is a double.
Sure. No, and I can completely respect that. Yeah. Yeah, and truthfully, that's a lot of the problem with the green-white decks right now. And the red-green decks are suffering from the same thing, but the good news is the red-green decks at least have the Scryland.
Yeah.
Right? So, I don't, you know, it's been pretty good. Like I said, it's been treating me well, and the cards are working. They're clicking.
Sweet.
So, yeah. You're looking for that. But if that all shits out, then with KYT's Tarmogoyf, I'll have my modern Tribal Flames deck ready for the side event. Good to go. So that's sweet.
Jay, you haven't touched Standard, have you?
Nope. I haven't. I'm still on month 4 of playing fucking Theros. So
are you loving it?
Oh yeah, just fucking the greatest time of my whole life. I've never wanted to play Magic more, obviously. And yeah. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I'm somewhat excited for Born of the Gods to come. They released the first flavor entry, I guess, on Daily MTG.
Yeah, that fucking thing.
Yesterday? Planeswalker's Guide to Born of the Gods.
Wow.
From the Magic creative team. And so they start talking about it. And basically, they show a picture of what I can only imagine is the red-black god. Who's a Minotaur.
Yeah.
And he looks like big and insane.
Are they definitely doing multicolored gods?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They are definitely doing multicolored.
Yeah. And Xenagos has actually become a god.
Hmm.
He's the villain of the whole story.
He's the villain of the whole
story. Who's Zenigos?
He's the red-green satyr planeswalker.
He found his spark, he went and saw other things, realized he wasn't all that, so he decided to go back to Theros and fuck some shit up. He wanted to be a god.
Wow.
So he's going to make it happen. It's like your old Dragonlance books.
Yeah, and the artwork's very good. I'm actually quite impressed with the artwork for his god card. So that's nice. There's the link to the article in the show notes. But yeah, it's pretty sweet. I'm very excited to see what kind of comes out of this. Slightly invested in the storyline.
Yeah, it looks interesting. Like, again, like the multicolored stuff, like, I think that's going to make your shocks worth a little bit more. So if you've got some, or if you can find some cheap, get them, because people are probably going to want to play with shocks a lot more once One of the Gods comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more three-color decks coming out. Be interesting to see what they do with Devotion.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out if they're actually going to be, like, gods, or whether they're just, they're going to be hybrid gods. So what I mean by that is, are they, instead of being enchantments all the time until you reach Devotion, are they going to just be enchantments and creatures all the time? Almost like a demigod, you know?
I would say that their Devotion would probably still count, but I would like be looking at like either like toning down their power or making their, like, if they're Devotion, then they have to have Devotion to one or Devotion to the other to make them into creatures, which makes them harder to, you know, get their Devotion. Or you get rid of Indestructible.
Yeah,
you know, like, you got to do something to balance them out. So either it might be, like, you have to have Devotion, 5 Devotion to red or 5 Devotion to black.
Man, I hope none of that happens. I hope none of that happens. I hope it's super powerful. I want it to just be fucking... Just continue
ridiculous.
To make... Yeah, just continue making the cards more powerful every time you make a set, Wizard.
God, why do you say that, Jay?
Well, because that'll be more fun, obviously. That's what people like.
Well, to steal Jeff Foster's joke, the new Magic cards are half black, the bottom half.
Boom, roasted. Yeah, like, imagine playing, like, a black-red god, and then you could have Devotion to black or red, and then also, fucking, if you get Devotion, you win the game. That seems fun.
But you have to have, like, 5 of each.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so you cast, like, 1 Demigod of Revenge in Modern and win.
Win the game, yeah. Oh, yes. I would play that fucking deck. Actually, I wouldn't, but...
Reprint Demigod.
Somebody would.
I've got a strong affinity for Demigod of Revenge.
Me too.
It's a good card.
Yeah.
It's even almost good enough in cube. But...
Yeah, yeah. If you could, like, just sneak 4 of them into the cube somehow, that'd be fine.
Well, make it, like, one of those cards where if, like, you draft it, you're allowed to, like, take another one out of the box.
Yeah.
Your deck.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like the...
Isn't it, like, a 5/5 Flying Haste, though?
5/4 Flying Haste.
Yeah, like, I don't know. That seems fine. Although, the 5 mana colors is a little bit heavy, but now you've got these black, red... Devotion gods, you just win the game on the spot, because that's fun and limited, and so... That seems like it goes right in the cube now.
I don't know, Demigod might be playable if you had, like, the whole, like... Do, like, the scumbag rule of, like, you know, it's like, cast it, say trigger, and hope they counter it. Like, you know, like, that's about as deep as you have to go.
Trigger, counter it. Okay.
Trigger, trigger resolves? What? Everyone's got the story where they've seen it, but it's never happened to yourself.
I have never seen that, but that would be fucking sweet. I want to see it. I'm going to Google that.
It's a beautiful thing.
In other news, speaking of cube.
Cube?
Unless we're done. I mean, we don't have to be done talking about this, actually. That's a bad segue.
We can talk about cube.
What else is going on with One of the Gods? See, this is it, but the problem I'm having. We've been playing Theros for fucking 4 months. That's so fucking long. So long. If you love something, even for 4 months, you probably are just bored of that, right? So, I don't think one pack of fucking... What's it called? Born of the Gods. I don't think one pack of that's going to change that, unfortunately. And I'm not just being negative, like, ah, fuck you, Wizards, you fucking probably can't do it, eh. I just mean, like, I don't know what they're going to print in Born of the Gods is going to change the limited environment that much in one pack, you know what I'm saying?
It'll probably be a lot of cards that have lots of text.
Yeah, fuck. Every card, every ability. Yep. Bring them all back. Fuck it. Bring them all back. They're born of the gods, so they have all the abilities, because the gods have the abilities. The gods made the gods, then you're born of the gods, you made the abilities, and you got the gods.
I want to see more mid-range red-white stuff, and I want to see more early game everything else.
I want my three. I want my three mana red black Necrotal.
Let's fucking.
That'd be pretty cool.
So, did you hear one of the cards that actually is like pseudo spoiled already?
Yes.
So Jay, I don't know if you've heard this. So it's black one for a 1/3.
Oh, I heard there like a rumor about this card.
It's rare.
Apparently, it's supposed to be so great.
And when it comes into play, you scry 3.
Mm-hmm.
And then.
You draw a card or something?
And then you reveal the top card after you finish scrying.
Yeah, and you bob it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is put it into your hand and lose life equal to its converted mana cost. For those of you playing along at home that don't know who Bob is.
That's not the card I was thinking about. I saw that. That card just doesn't. That card doesn't seem real.
Yeah.
That card just seems really ridiculous and, like, too good.
That may be the case.
I feel like also, like, I mean, and like Wizards could maybe do this, but I feel like if you were going to make a card like that, like, why wouldn't you just have put it in the last block? Like when they remade Niv-Mizzet, right? Or
oh, they remade because the Ghost Council. Bob was in Ravnica.
Yeah. Like, why wouldn't they just do that? Like, hey, man, look, we made a new Bob. Haha, joke's on you. We put it in the set after Ravnica because we're so clever. Beep, bop,
yeah. That's what it is.
It's because of the scry factor, though, guys.
They next leveled you.
I guess they got me.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's something interesting. Yeah, the other one is Springleaf Drum.
Yeah, that's the one I thought you were talking about. That one I'm actually really excited for because that makes, like, the Mahara ridiculous red-green combo deck, you know, the Nykthos nonsense thing that I was playing right after the Pro Tour. That makes that deck just even more ludicrous.
Can you explain to me how it makes that deck retarded, please?
Well, explain what Springleaf Drum is.
Okay, Springleaf Drum is a one mana artifact, and you can tap the Springleaf Drum and one of your untapped creatures to add one mana of any mana to your mana pool. What it does is it gives your mana elves haste. Mm. That's the way that I look at that card, is that it makes my mana elves have haste, so it means that I am, in a way, I feel like I'll be a turn faster. Like, I know that I lose one mana spot somewhere in the curve, but I feel like that card's just going to push me that one edge, like, further, because there's just so many times where it's just like, if I just had one more mana, like, I could do something completely obscene, and instead I just have to do something, like, ridiculous, like putting a Garrick out on turn 4. You know, like, I could have him out on turn 3 more consistently. Just, like, there's so many crazy things where it's like, Burning Tree Emissary, you cast your Burning Tree Emissary, you get your mana, you can cast the Springleaf Drum, you can get another color mana, you can keep running them out. So it's like you can find places where you can sneak it into play and like get it out there, and then, you know, it just turns your elf or your Polukranos that you're not attacking with it the turn it comes into play, so you might as well tap it for mana and just like dumping more stuff onto the board.
So that is the first time anybody has logically been able to explain to me why Springleaf Drum would be good in current standard. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the only deck I can see playing it in, though. Like, I'm not going to go much further than that, but I really like it there. It's probably good in, like, the stupid, like, mono one-drop decks and stuff like that, because it's good in Affinity, right? Like, take my guy who can't attack on turn one, take my Soldier of the Pantheon, and, you know, use him to turn into a, like, I guess it would be on, like, turn two, you'd be able to jam out, like, one extra guy or something.
Yeah.
You know, in turn three, you could do some crazy stuff and have mana open to brave the elements or something. So
it's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that makes sense. The other thing that's coming out, Jay, mm-hmm. you know, so when you want to find a way over to GP Boston, we can mm-hmm. give you something to play with.
Boston
is Magic: The Gathering Modern event deck.
Oh, baby.
Okay, so.
That was all over Twitter today, and it was so fucking annoying.
I know. Get started with the deep strategy modern format in style. Drawn raw, rare, high-powered magic cards from past sets with this tightly constructed 60-card deck. Also includes a 15-card sideboard, strategy guide, spin down, life counter, 80 exclusive card sleeves.
Holy fuck, it comes in special sleeves.
Yep. Five double-sided tokens. Double-sided tokens. You had to get a Hell Vault for those. Double-sided tokens. And a deck box.
Everybody who got a Hell Vault token and then held on to it because you thought it was going to go up in price, you're stupid, haha.
And a deck box. So anyway, so the MSRP on this is $75. So there's a lot of people speculating on this and trying to figure out what's actually going to be in it. The question really is, what deck is it? Like, it's obviously an archetype.
I feel like I already know.
It's got to be two decks. It's got to be more than just one deck, doesn't it?
No, it's one deck.
There's, like, they're going to put out more than one, though, right?
No, it's just one right now.
Yeah, it's like they're doing in standard right now, where they put out one every, block.
Is that what they do? Oh, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. And, like, they're, like, somewhat competitive. Like, you kind of have, like, the start of it, and you can just go and play some more.
That's a stretch.
They're actually pretty good.
Yeah, the Stoneforge deck, when it came out, the Stoneforge event deck wasn't terrible.
The Lesnia one was pretty good. It had, Drake Tusk and all kinds of crazy stuff in it.
Yeah, so, like, they're traditionally okay for FNM, but they're not fucking GP-worthy.
I don't think I've ever seen one of those go better than 2-2 at an FNM where I play.
Well, that's fine, but if you're just starting, 2-2 is not embarrassing.
Or $75. Almost win a legacy tournament.
Okay, but, like, no, well, the event decks for standard aren't $75. But that's the point, right? The event decks for standard are, like, $35, so you get a $35 experience. Now you get to pay $75, so what deck is it?
It's Black-White Tokens. It's the only deck that fits all of the criteria. It's cheap enough, it needs five double-sided tokens, and, it's the only deck that you can make a competitive version for $75.
Mind blown!
It's Melissa Del Toro dot deck.
Like, everybody thinks that it's Pod or something. Because in Pod, you can have a bunch of bad creatures that seemingly do something to noobs.
You only need one or two of them. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. It's a lot of one-ofs and stuff like that, which is kind of lends to, like, the whole thing there. But, like, it's a lot of one-ofs that are usually expensive one-ofs. Like, they're all, like, really high-end one-ofs. So,
But, I mean, whatever. They're going to put, like, a fucking 5-5, like destroy target land when it comes into play Evoke guy in there and be like, oh, you potted into that. Ho-hoo, ha-ha, shish-me, shish-ma.
Yeah, it's
fucking, look at this tight deck we're building you for $75.
Tight deck.
So what do you think then? Like, where's the money in this? Like, it's going to have. Friend.
It'll have another reprint of Elspeth because it'll always have an Elspeth.
Okay, but is it Elspeth or Sorin though? It's Black White Tokens we're talking about. Like, I'm not sure.
Black White Tokens. Black White Tokens. I still like Elspeth better than Sorin. Sorin's really good in the deck also, but I think that it's just going to be there. You're probably going to get like some sort of like random like. Weapon or something like that. Like, you'd probably get a sword or something in it to like make everybody happy in that kind of sense. Like, and then you could probably put in like Beaded Heath and like a Windbrisk Heights and some like random stuff like that. Like,
so if you're gonna play Black White Tokens, it has to have like four Windbrisk Heights, right? Or at least two. Fetid Heath is probably right. Like, Fetid Heath, I can see. Yeah. I don't think they're gonna put the Marsh Flats in there.
You could probably put a Thought Seize in it.
I was thinking, well, with Theros reprints, you could probably play more than one.
Yeah.
You could probably put two or three of them in the sideboard.
But, yeah, well, that's the thing. You also still have to make this deck, like, make some sort of sense. Because, you know, if it's too good, then it's going to be the $75, $125 deck.
Well, I expect it to be that anyway.
Yeah, like, it's... I don't know. It's even like when the Thrag Tusk deck came out, like, in standard, it got marked up probably, like, a good, like, 20% most places, so...
Yeah.
But I just Black White Tokens, like, honestly, the five double-sided tokens is, like, the thing that, like, had me going through, like, the list in my head, and I can't find a deck that needs that many tokens without looking at Black White Token.
Yeah, because it's, what, Spirits and or Soldiers?
Spirits, or Soldiers.
If it's Sorin, it could be Spirits and Vampires.
Yeah, it could be Spirits, Vampires. Right? Maybe you put a Batterskull in it. I don't know, just for shits and giggles. Like,
that's
it doesn't
possible.
Have to be.
There's
in
a,
list
it's a new. It's a new GP.
Yeah.
Card, so
yeah. Anyways, I think regardless, I mean, even if it is Black White Tokens, Black White Tokens isn't a completely humiliating deck at all.
No, it's a decent deck. Like,
it's a solid tier 2 deck.
Mm-hmm.
So
I played it at some GP. I don't know which one, but
yeah, it was the first modern deck I wanted to build.
Yeah.
So it was like Lingering Souls in all formats. Bring the noise.
I was gonna say that I played it at a PTQ, that Doug Potter one, but that doesn't really narrow it down to a lot of things out here.
Nope.
You mean nope. Porno Dan?
Porno Dan.
Who's Porno Dan?
I don't know. This
really? Thing. Doug Potter looks remarkably like Porno Dan in a lot of the pictures that he's posting.
His latest picture thing.
So
is,
funny! I died. I literally died. For those of you, okay, so there's a TMN we have up here, the movie network. I don't know, HBO or whatever you guys have down south. There's a series called The Right Hand, and it's about this guy from Toronto who gets an internship with some porn company.
Okay.
And so it follows him and all the stuff. And the guy who runs the porn company, his name is Porno Dan, and he's in a bunch of the movies and whatever, and I just can't remember now the name of the series, but he looks remarkably like Doug Potter in half the pictures that I've seen of Doug Potter. It's just creepy. The last one especially, when he's like stretched out across at like the black and white still and stuff with his bleach hair, I was just like, it was just, yeah. So Porno Dan. I'm just going to call him Porno Dan from now on.
Sweet, I dig it.
Yeah, shout out to Porno Dan.
Big shout out. So.
Yeah, so there was another thing that exploded all over Twitter today.
We want to talk about
my butt. We want to talk about that?
Let's
them goddamn proxies.
So there's somebody making counterfeit cards.
And they look fucking sweet.
They're apparently very...
I want all of them. I'll sell somebody my cube if they can hook me up with some counterfeit Chinese card.
Oh, God. Way to perpetrate the problem.
Yeah.
What the fuck? I don't care about that problem. Magic crads are fucking only going up. Foils are 8 times what a regular foil costs. Sometimes 40 times. I don't give a fuck about that shit. With all the money that they made, you know, maybe I'd care if they fucking reinvested it into the community and or their own programming, but they choose not to. So, fuck them. Counterfeit.
Well, that's the thing. You bust out the paper. Like, if you kill the secondary market in paper, you get rid of local gaming stores really supporting it. And, like, the difference between a store that carries singles and a store that doesn't carry singles is usually a store that doesn't do organized play.
Yeah.
So, like, if, you know, like, this is kind of like the first part, like, that first decision tree where it's like, how bad are things going to get from this? Because if you start losing stores, then you start to lose organized play. If you start losing organized play, like, the game really loses a lot when organized play leaves.
Yeah, I would imagine it.
Yeah, because, like, you're going to lose quality of, like, R&D and stuff like that. Their budgets are going to go down because, like, you don't have, like, that exposure. You don't have these people who are always out buying these chase cards, making everything kind of, making the boxes get open, making people draft a lot and stuff like that. So it's just, like, it's a really, really ugly place. So it was, yeah, it's really scary to me. Like, I've got a paper collection, and, like, I'm really on the point of, like, do I, like, dump it? Because I was in the printing industry. I know that, like, once these guys get behind it, if they make a big deal out of this, there are greedy people out there who are going to, like, start pushing this stuff everywhere. And if the cards get as good as, like, they're looking right here, it's going to be very, very difficult to tell what cards that are done before this new change are legit. Like, you know, with the new M15 stuff or whatever, they're going to have, like, their little foil stamp and everything like that. They're probably going to have, like, those ticket things where you pull the tab and it's like, this is a legit card. You know, like, bullshit like that.
like a fucking, like a radio voice comes out. You open the Brain Slayer Angel. It's real. Congratulations. Like,
5 years from now, it's going to be like,
yeah, it like won't work anymore. And someone will be like,
the batteries are dead. But it's like, now when I go to a GP, like, do I need to, like, go out and get, like, a loop? Like, do I really need to be, like, looking at dot patterns on cards to, like, determine if, like, this $20 piece of crap is legit? And then, like, on the flip side of things, it's like, oh, I'm a judge, and now I have to find out if people are playing counterfeit cards. Like, that is, like, super awkward. Like, judging events. And, like, you look at the card and you're like, yeah, there's something that's not right about this.
Well, the good news is, you're a level what judge?
One.
Yeah, so you're probably not going to be doing any Legacy tournaments, so it's probably a non-issue.
Well, that's the thing. You would think so, but, like, this Alibaba site that's pushing these things, they've got the $5 gate crash fetches in there. Like
Alibaba.
Alibaba is, for people who aren't in the know, it's a site where, like, you get a lot of, like, Eastern Asian companies that, like, factories and stuff like that that put themselves up on there, and, like, it's a place that you can go and source materials. So when I was in my old life, we used to, like, buy, like, mugs and stuff off Alibaba and get, like, inventory and stuff like that. But, like, print companies are showing up on there saying, hey, we make playing cards. Oh, yeah, and we also do this, like, sheet of, like, just, like, all the best Magic cards. And you
fuck
can buy
yeah.
them.
I want an uncut beta sheet, and then I'm going to sell it to Arthur Halliwell, blah, 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 blah. And then I'm going to make sure to include an ultra-realistic, authentic, super talking sticker.
Whoa!
Yeah, just what? Fucking, just, I mean, just even, who cares, just fucking, this is real! That's it. That's
I don't know, like, it just, it makes me not want to have these cards anymore.
Yeah, me
like,
too.
Like, that's what it just puts me to the point where it's like, do I want to dump my paper collection and invest online? Well, that just seems counterproductive.
Well, that's what I'm doing, fucker.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Moto is doing so well right now.
Exactly. It's like, you know, out of the fire into the or out of the pan and into the fire. It's just
That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it. Like, I honestly, like, my collection is almost like identical in both paper and online. Like, my online's just a little behind my paper, but like this is scary stuff. Like, these cards are popping up. People are like, oh yeah, I've got one of these, or I've got something that looks like one of these, or I've got these things. Like, and like, there's guys on eBay who are like just like straight out selling play sets of this stuff like dirt cheap already on eBay.
Yeah.
So it's just, it's super sketchy. And then it's like, you're going to run into like, people are going to be like accusing other people. Like, you know, like the Mark cards can, things where it's like, buddy's losing. He's in game three. He had to mulligan to five. Then all of a sudden he notices his opponent's deck is obviously marked. So he's calling over the judge, you know, like you get the rods in the water trying to fish a win out. It's like, it's going to be like, oh, you know, like that text doesn't look right. I think that's a counterfeit card. And then it's like, as the judge, you're going to be like, are you fucking shitting me? Like, do I have to like really go through this? So, or I don't know. Like, it's just going to be so super awkward. And then you're going to run into the case where buddy does have a counterfeit card. And it's like, yeah, you know, we're playing a GPT or something like that. It's like, where did you get this card? And like, the guy's going to be like, oh, I got it as a super steal on eBay.
And my sister bought it for me for Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, where it's like, well, now I have to try and figure out, like, do you know this is real? Do you know this is fake? Like, if they know that it's a fake, if they know that it's a really good counterfeit, like, you have to DQ them from the tournament.
Yeah.
That's like, just like, straight up, like, it's unsportsmanlike conduct cheating. Like, it's clear cut. So it's just like, super douchebaggy. And then it's like, if they don't know, it's like, okay, so you've determined that they don't know. It's like, okay, well, we have to get rid of this card. This isn't a legal card. So it's like, can you find another card? Well, I'm gonna have to, like, deck,
well,
deck this.
I paid $500 for that.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. It's like, as much as it's like, oh yeah, you just got dicked for like $500 and now I'm gonna kick you by giving you a game loss, like, let's just add just a little bit of oomph to that. So it's like, it's super awkward. And it's like, thank goodness that, you know, like, we're only hearing about it now after we've got the whole hologram thing coming in to save the day. But, jeez. I don't know. Like, this is just super scary. Like, I don't want to, like, deal with anything online anymore. Like, it just, it really, really keeps me away from that. And then it's like, I see how, like face-to-face games, like, they buy a ton of cards at events. Like, how is this going to affect those guys? Like, I'd love to, like, get, you know, like, 5 minutes of Sal's ears and saying, like, how are you going to protect yourself from this?
Yeah.
Like, because, like, they're doing everything. Like, that's the thing. Is like, most of the guys are going to be like, oh, if I get a dual land, I'll take some extra time to look at it. Maybe, like, they'll go out and invest in, like, equipment or something like that. But when it's, like, the little $5 cards and stuff like that, like, when it comes to cash, counterfeiting, you don't do hundreds, you do tens.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. No one fucking blinks when you have a $5 bill.
Exactly.
And you just buy like a chocolate bar with that, you know what I mean? You buy a boat with a bunch of fives. Yeah, someone's going to take a look, but
yeah, it's just like, it's pretty crazy. So I'm very interested to see how this is all going to play out. It looks like they've already got their solution. Hopefully they get a little Sue happy. And I just think that's like, you know, take a look at your cards. If you buy anything online, if anything's too good to be true, like, try and get the scans and stuff like that. And then from the judge side of things, like, just be prepared that if you run into something and you get the too good to be true and like they catch you on it, it's going to suck for you. Like, you can't play counterfeit cards. You can't play proxies. That's something that you can't do in a Magic tournament. So, and I know there's a lot of people who are like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's get proxies. I don't want to spend, you know, this much money for a dual land. I want these things. Or, and it's just like, it's cool that there's a cheaper alternative out there, but it's not a real alternative.
Yeah.
Man, it's like online's doing bad now. Real life, this is.
Yeah, it's terrible. But I'm grinding Hearthstone pretty good.
Yeah, I'm worried, but and I'm hoping my I'm like you, Jeremy. I own like basically. It was like my real life collection cloned in MTGO, but I realized that I was only gonna play online. I never play FNM. I never play that. So I got rid of my real life cards. So I don't have this worry. But when I'm going to buy cards, and I'm gonna for tournament, which I will still do, I'm gonna have to be careful somehow.
Yeah, and like that's just like the stupid thing is that like again with like bigger stuff like buying like Portal 3 Kingdom stuff like for like,
yeah, that stuff's outrageously expensive, right?
So yeah, exactly, and it's like I don't want to be caught with like you know some crappy counterfeit thing, and like then you're gonna like run into like the super rare stuff where it's like now you can't even be sure because you don't know what exactly you're looking for, like if it's like a Summer Magic thing or something stupid. Like,
yeah.
That stuff's just gonna like die.
Most people can't tell the difference between even like Alpha, Beta, Unlimited, and Revised. Like
yeah, exactly.
Off the top of my head, I can't.
Well, Alpha, Beta is really easy just because like the cards are just different shape, but still a lot of people just can't tell the difference between even Alpha, Beta.
Yeah.
Like those ones there, it's like at a glance you can kind of tell the difference on them. But then it's like you start to run into like all of these like little things where it's like, well, which Beta ones don't have the dots? Like Tropical Island doesn't have the dots. COP Black, I think, doesn't have the dots. Yeah, but like, it's like all dots. Of a sudden, it's, yeah, it's like there's like a lot of like these like weird little rules that you have to be aware of. Like that, there's going to be people who are aware of. But like, I just know like there's so many like you always hear about like the shark stories at the GPs and how like there's always like the super scum traders. Like there's going to be like some scum trader who's just going to have a binder of this shit, and he's just going to put it out there. He's gonna be the guy who's like. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'll do, like, he'll probably even scum you on the trade for his fake card. He'll probably be like, yeah, he'll probably be like, oh, yeah, that one there, that foil Pluto Delta, you know, it's got the Judge one on it. Those things are only worth, like, an extra 10%, right? You know, it's like, it's going to be like shit like that. That's always happened. So, I don't know. I'm pissed off about it. But I know that it was bound to happen. That's. Like, I've got a proxy cube done up that we were, like, when we first heard about cube, we went out and we just did one up at the print shop, and everything is, like, obviously proxies. The backs have proxy written all over them. But, you know, it's, like, even then, it's, like, we made some that looked pretty good. And, yeah, like, somebody who actually put some money into it and some time into it and actually hires designers who aren't terrible at designing like I am. Then yeah, you're going to get a good quality product that's going to fuck a lot of people.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. The work that's happening over in the factory right now on Google Plus, the proxy and render and alters contests that we run through Mana Deprive, like the work that they're doing there is completely ridiculous.
Yeah,
like and it's literally insane.
I feel really bad for those guys because I think those guys are going to get a lot of like friendly fire from this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've already kind of worked out all of the framework. They're just waiting for some more examples of the font to get that right.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, some of the stuff's insane. And obviously no one's ever going to be able to copy the hologram. Right? That's the point. So it's a non-issue. But and everybody clearly marks everything on there is very clearly it says this is a proxy, not for sale. Like, that's one of the stipulations of posting in there.
My big thing about that hologram, I think, too, is that it kind of makes it feel cheap all of a sudden.
The hologram? You think the hologram makes it feel cheap?
No, my upper deck cards.
It makes it feel like I'm playing like it's a hockey card. Like it just makes it feel.
Yeah. But you know what? The upper deck cards always were better than the Donruss cards.
Yeah, but it just feels hokey.
Sure.
And I don't like the bottom thing. Like I think it I don't know. Like it was kind of cool, but I don't like the stylization on it. Like the flare. It's I don't know.
I really like the bottom thing. I like the black thing at the bottom, and that's because I make
binders. I like the black thing at the bottom. I just don't like that it flares up on the corner.
Oh, like that little curving thing? Like how it kind of like it's like rounded on the bottom?
I don't think that was necessary.
Yeah, you could probably get away from that, but it would probably look really awkward with just like straight lines. Like if it was just straight line across the bottom.
I think they faded it more too. Like the rest of the magic colors, have that weird like white marbling shit. And like this is just like a straight like it looks like I just drew on a marker like yep this is authentic boom here's my sticker that I put on it you know what I mean
yeah
that's what it looks like to me
yeah no I love the black models because I buy primarily foreign boxes for all of my cards and trying to sort them like I can't alphabetize them because I don't know what the Korean alphabet actually looks like you know in order if it has an order I don't know if you can alphabetize a Korean alphabet I hope somebody because I know we have Korean listeners so please let me know if you can I'm sure that there's something to it but I always go by set number and set number when you get to red and green like after you've been
impossible.
For a couple hours you just want to die at that point like I'm just done with it so
Yeah, it's
I really like the black. Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, I like it just for the fact that it's easy to read for sure.
Yeah, and I think they're putting like designer credits on there too, which is kind of, you know, a nice thing to do. So at least you have somebody you can blame for all of, like, the cards that you hate. You know, like, oh my god, somebody made this banned card, let's all get them fired, you know, like, get the rioting police out there and everything like that, get the rabble-rousers.
Yeah, but they're not secretive about that anyway. Anybody that gives a shit about that stuff can easily find it on their actual website. Like, it's not like it's, you gotta be, like, an inside scoop reporter to get that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I feel like that's just information everybody already knows.
I don't know, I don't really know, you know, and, like, it's actually kind of a pain in the ass to get that information, to find out who designed a specific card. Like, somebody's got to fess up to it.
The only thing, like, this is the Zach Hill phenomenon, okay? Everybody blames Zach for every single card that came out in between Innistrad and Dragon's Maze that was bad, or that was uninteractive. Yeah. And, you know, he only owned up to a few, and there's some of them maybe he's ashamed of, who knows? But the bottom line is this now forces everybody to own up to their mistakes. That's what it's there for. This is Zach Hill's fault. This is Zach Hill's
Everything's fault. Zach Hill's fault. That guy sucks.
So.
Whoa. I love his enthusiasm.
Zach Hill's?
Yeah. When he's
he's
on
got
the...
good enthusiasm, but like...
Well, I like him in the booth.
He's engaging. So yeah. Whenever he's been on a podcast...
Please.
No, whenever he's been on a podcast, though, he's been very good.
Yeah, I like that too.
But it's like you've already got Morrow. Morrow's all the enthusiasm you need.
Yeah, holy fuck, is he ever?
Jeremy, when did the news of this fake stuff was the like? It seems coincidental with this hologram thing that it just came out at the same time.
There is a high-end Magic card group on Facebook. So if you're like looking for like the super pimp stuff.
Okay.
Like there's like literally like piles of it that go up. Like there's like four people who will usually post like just crazy stuff on that group a day, and some guy like posted up a little thing about it, and then from there it just kind of went like all crazy. The Quiet Speculation guys jumped all over it, and they've done like a lot of work in like educating people, so like, you know, kudos to them. But yeah, that's where it's been like I think like maybe 2 days, so it's almost been the exact same timing that this whole other thing went down. But they were started off by showing off a Tarmogoyf, and it was like this guy's like, oh yeah, my buddy just bought this on eBay, but something doesn't look right, and the font's a little bit off and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like there's some good things that they're doing, like having their own proprietary font and stuff like that, you know, like that'll get fixed pretty quickly, but, you know, it's like it's making it difficult for them at least. And when they make it difficult, then it gives you like things to look for that you can kind of compare for. So.
Man, it's like our Canadian money.
Yeah.
Our Monopoly money.
Yeah, it just, you know what'll happen. It'll be like the foil stamp on the card can't handle minus 40 degree weather, so if you leave your cards out in your car, all your foil stamps fall off or something stupid like that. Like, you know that's totally what it's going to be.
Oh, God.
Yeah. But like, yeah, it's just like there's, and it's like the foil stamp is only on like the rares and the mythics. So that's where they also had to do the black thing to put, like, the coding thing onto it so that their machines could, like, keep track to make sure packs didn't go on the wrong things. And I think that's really just feels like it's an alignment issue because they probably have, like, a whole new workflow to try and get the rares and mythics that are printed on separate sheets into other branches. Like, I imagine you used to be able to, at some point, like, have that all in a similar workflow and kind of cut out the same way because you could have, like, a pack have... You know, a rare sheet, three uncommon sheets, and then a bunch of common sheets that are all randomized, stacked on top of each other, put it into a cutter, it chops everything out and throws it right into packs. Now you have to have those come from two different workflows. So they were probably having some issues with that, and that's why they had to do some of that stuff. So I don't know. It's really interesting, and it would be great to have, like, you know, maybe they have to have, like, Holtz or something like that go and do, like, a tour through Carter Monday and do a little thing up. That might be a really cool way to introduce these things for, like, you know, that type of medium. The new cards and stuff like that. But
I'm really excited to hear the fact that they're readable by machine and the fact that that might potentially be extended into technology for card pool registration is insane.
Card pool registration? I don't know if we'll get that. Maybe.
So, jeez, like, imagine, think about this as a judge. Yeah. Okay, all of a sudden, you now have all of the platinums. Maybe it's Pro Tour only, right? But all of a sudden,
yeah,
everybody needs to register their draft packs, or everybody needs to figure out, write them all down, or sealed pools at a GP, right? So you take your sealed pools and all of the pre-registrations, and you dump it into this machine, which is very much like a bill counter, and it goes and spits out your fucking sealed pool.
Yeah,
good, right?
That's really cool. It's just, you have to make it non-destructive, right? Like, you got to figure out a way for it to move cards in a fast motion that's not going to destroy your cards.
Totally.
But yeah, outside of that, it just sounds like, you know, the future.
Yeah.
So I'm a big fan of that. That's really cool.
Could be sweet.
It'll also be like, I can see it having a lot of benefits to shops like Face to Face and stuff like that, guys who like bring in a ton of cards and stuff like that. Like, they walk out with like just dozens of boxes where they can now, instead of having to, like, unfortunately, sorry, $10 an hour card sorter guy who, you know, sorts cards all day, you're gonna get replaced by a machine. Welcome to the future. But, you know, like, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, so I'm excited. I actually don't mind any of these changes. I think it's fine. It's obviously something that we have to do as technology progresses with printing and all the rest of that jazz. They have to keep up.
Man.
It's just one of those things that they just have to do.
I might have a real life collection again if you can just like feed in the cards and it actually like sorts in a particular order. That would be, oh man, that would be the sickest thing. But I don't think that thing is happening.
Well, it wouldn't put them in order, but it would tell you what you had.
They're already out there. There's actually card sorters out there. They're very, very early, but they do exist.
Put my Gwaiths in there.
No! Yeah. No!
Well, but the tough
Jeremy
part is actually...
Told me about them.
Well, no, non-destructive. But no, I think that the equipment's out there that you could have a machine do it. It's just the amount of space that a machine would take and, like, what the... It's not necessarily a hardware. It would be more on the software side of saying, like, can it recognize these different things? Can it recognize different languages? When it does recognize these different things, how do you want it to sort it? Like, how many trays is this thing going to have? Like, do you run a batch through and it separates them into colors? Like,
it'll probably just, yeah, it'll probably just be
color sort. And then, like, maybe you can take one color and put that one color in there and it separates them by, like, format or something like that. Like,
I'm
you
sure
can
like
have
that's
it to do that
possible but
yeah it's just running into just like physical limitations of how much space you have and how fast this machine's going to work if it has like 40 trays attached to it. So, you know,
I don't think that's viable.
No, but like if you have it so that you can just like pick up a stack, throw it in there, it does one sort, then you run it through sort number two and it runs it through that one, sort number three, and like you can just take it so that all you now have is a guy who just puts all the cards in and it separates them and he knows what he has to do with the five trays and then he puts the one pile back into the machine and does it again and all this other nonsense. But, you know, it's something.
What's
like,
the point of that? Why the fuck would you ever do that?
Just to, like... Places like Face to Face, like, they employ a lot of people. They spend a lot of money on sorting cards, like, for their business. And, like, that's the thing, is you have to find a way to cut those costs. And, like,
yeah, but, like, why would what are they
those
buying?
Guys listen to our show, man.
Like, okay, so let's say they're using this for sorting the boxes and cases that they're opening, right? So, so they're doing that, and then so now they need a machine where it doesn't just sort it by color and by card. Like, I think just having a machine that would just sort it by the actual card is more beneficial for them because they're selling single cards, right? Like,
oh yeah, absolutely. But like, that's the thing is,
all this like 10 different modes of,
but that's the thing is that,
of fucking shit. What the fuck?
But like, what if they have a stack of 1,000 cards and those are 1,000 different cards? Well, when the thing goes to sort it out, like they're going to have 1,000 trays that these things all need to fall into. So it just, you have to like. Have it go in batches and have the batches.
Maybe it just turns them lefty righty.
Lefty righty, just lefty righty. This giant stack, just spitting them out on the floor like the photocopier.
I mean, if it's a thousand different cards, just prints and says, "Fucking, you entered 1,000 cards and there was 1,000 unique entries sorted. Here's your stack of 1,000 cards."
But right? Yeah, like they got to be able to find that card now when they sell it. Like, they don't want to have to go
that's not a sorting. That's not a sorting machine.
That's a sorting machine, absolutely.
No, not if we're just talking about it sorting.
But that's what we want it to do, is we want it to bring in and we want to sort everything. We want to be able to sort it so that when we sell it, we can go and find it. Like, if it gives me a giant stack and says, hey, here's storage. All the cards
that's
in order.
Storage, though. That's not sorting it for storage. You're suggesting a machine that sorts into 50 million trays and also stores it all.
No, it doesn't have to store it, but it has to break it up. Like, it has to spit it out in a certain order. There has to be an order of things. So, yeah. Like, that's the thing, is how do you get that order? Well, it's probably going to – it's going to separate it. It's got to divide it into something. It can't just, like, take one card and put it on top. It's not like you got, like, all the cards in your hand and you're, like, putting them in order, because that's just, like – I can't fathom how a thing like that would happen. Now, if it does, that's awesome. Like, if you could just, like, give it a pile and it just goes inside a big black box and another pile comes out at the end and says, this is alphabetized, colored – everything like that. It's done by a different set and everything like that.
That would be insane.
And we wiped off all the little black dots on the edge. This is great. You know, like, but if it does, like, go through and at least pulls the name off of all the cards, then it also updates your inventory, does all that crazy stuff. And I think that's where the new cards are going to be really good, because you're going to be able to have this equipment that you'll be able to run a pile of cards to it, and it'll be able to scan all that
so
stuff.
So you're saying this is good because fucking Willis... is going to get Wyatt, fired.
Wyatt
Gillis.
Wyatt is the shipping manager, okay? No, this is not going to hurt Wyatt.
We don't need a shipping manager. We have a fucking magical computer that sorts
out drones. We got drones sending cards.
He's the shipping
manager. Thanks, Obama.
He's got to take care of that robot. He's got to be in charge of that robot. He's going to be like chief roboter. Like, I think this is good for him. I think things are looking up for him. This is like a good place for him to be.
Wow. Love it.
See, I'm more afraid of, like, you know, the card buying machine, where it's like you sit there and you go and you take your cards and you put it in the machine and it sits there and it, like, puts it on, like, a little virtual playmat and it goes to, like, take your card and it's like you give it a dual land and it's like $20. And then you're like, what? Come on, this guy over here will give me 25. And then, like, a little graphic of Saul giving you the eyes comes up on the screen. And it's like, okay, 20 Saul, we'll go with it. And then, you know, it just keeps on going.
That might, that actually might be more useful from the beginning. Like, for a buyer, instead of, like, having people line up for their collection, they just feed their collection through that.
And robot just, kiosks. Wow.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, bro, we just broke it.
Absolutely.
We just broke the whole thing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Face to face. Get on it.
Yeah, that's patent pending there, Sal, so don't get any fucking ideas, all right, bro?
It's not Sal you have to be afraid of. It's Schmaltzy you have to be afraid of.
Oh. Schmaltzy. Fucking Schmaltzy. Schmaltzy and Petey Pablo are just fucking me. I never get anything from them. No letters, no fucking funny jokes.
Why, only it's Wyatt loves fucking, us.
It's all Wyatt Gillis.
The guy is awesome.
He's awesome.
Chief Roboter of Face to Face Games.
I didn't ask.
Chief Roboter.
So,
Vancouver's coming.
Vancouver's coming. Yeah. I was on the Tap and Sack podcast last night.
Ooh.
Last night, night before, something like that.
Did you both tap and sack?
I tapped and sacked, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It was good. Yeah, I had a good time, so you guys can go and check that out. It's over on MTG Cast whenever it posts. So, yeah, we talked about, MTG Fitness and Modern and streaming.
What's MTG
and
Fitness?
Oh, just, man, like, I gotta ask, Scott, when I see you, am I just gonna get, like, are my brain's gonna...
Yeah, your brain's just gonna melt. You're not actually gonna be able to play Magic. You'd just be, like, every time you go to Thoughtseize, you'd be like, Thoughtseize, what do I take? Oh, my God, Scotty's retarded! And then you'd be like, oh, wait, what? What card? That card. I don't care, whatever.
No, I don't need a ride. I'm waiting for my friend Scott. I am Scott. What?
Yeah. No, it's pretty crazy. I was telling Jeremy, so as of this morning, I am literally 7.6 pounds to double down target.
How much have you lost so far? I mean,
I am 2.6 pounds away from saying that from legally saying that I've lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
That's more than a big baby.
That is more. That's a fucking, that is like a child. That is like a little kid. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Even watching, like, we don't see it that well, but I do notice a difference. Like, looking at your face on stream, I can tell.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, his face is super small. That's where that's where men lose a lot of weight. Like, I even am looking at pictures from my wedding, and it's like, holy fuck, what a fat fuck. I meant Scotty. No, I'm kidding. I meant me, obviously. But...
it's cool, dude. I was fucking large. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Oh, but you're so tall, so it's like...
I've always carried the weight well, but I was fucking big, dude. Like, you don't understand. Like, I'm putting on... Like, I'm in a 36 pant.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like...
I'm in a 36 pant.
Yeah, so...
You're, like, massive, like, compared to me. You're
so
like
put
a,
that...
You're like that He-Man token now. Like, that's, you are... And you are lifting
at the waist, angrily.
It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy, right?
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
That's what happened.
It's, what is it? So what do they always say? Fiction imitating life, imitating fiction or something like that?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Boom.
Yeah. So it's pretty ridiculous. I'm very excited. I've restarted with my new personal trainer, and he's going to melt the rest of the fat that is on my body. I'm very excited. I fucking died on Tuesday. So the trainer that I had before was like a lifter trainer.
Okay.
Like a bodybuilder, like heavy, like weightlifter. This guy is very much like a plyometric, long, lean muscle, MMA style trainer.
Yeah.
Oh God. There are muscles that I thought I was in shape. And then he's like, okay, now do like 30 lunges and like lunge and then jump and then land and lunge and jump and land. Like jump in the lunge and land in the lunge position. And I looked at him like, how many? He's like 30. I'm like, okay. And I'm like four in. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, this is ridiculous. These muscles are not strong. What is even fucking happening here? But it's just because with the way that I've been lifting and the weights and everything else, the machines and everything that I've been using, like they're just not, there's these muscles that I'm just not using, you know, and a lot of them are stabilizer muscles, you know, because it's, oh God. That's so humbling. So humbling. But it's great. It's amazing. Like, I've lost another 3 pounds this week. So, sick shit.
Very sick shit.
I was hoping, like, my fingers were crossed that I might actually be able to shed these 7 pounds by the time I see KYT on the 18th.
Whoa, man.
And I was hoping that might happen. I don't think it's going to be possible. I will for sure be able to say that I've lost two more pounds, and I'll be able to say, yeah. You're seeing me 50 pounds lighter, and that'll happen, but I don't think I'm going to be able to get right down for the extra four on top of that.
You just have to do the sick MMA weight cut. Talk
get to work, Acosta.
Yeah.
So fucked.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like I feel amazing. Everything's great. I just have all this power and energy, and I'm crushing it at work. Like, I'm just crushing. Anyways, I don't want to, like, take all night on this. If I went fairly in-depth on the... You know what?
I mean, I thought you'd never shut up.
You know what? You just fucking, like, shave your beard and put it in your ass. But, no, I talked a lot about it on Tap and Tack. So if you guys want to hear more about sort of that fitness run, then you guys... We had some good conversations about that. So you guys can go check that out. So yeah, it was good.
I don't know if I've asked this on the show before. But who is actually the fittest MTG celebrity?
It's got to be Kibler. The guy's fucking, he's got like gigantism.
Nope. I'm going to show you right now who it is.
Oh my God, I really want to see Scott's dick.
Oh, it's the MMA guy.
Nope, here.
Oh, yeah, that guy is pretty big.
This guy. You want to talk about the most fit? This
guy. Oh, okay, yeah. He's. Let's this guy's... Ali's pretty buff.
Ali
Andrazi. That's what that guy looks like? Oh,
now it is.
God, that guy should...
Now it is.
Is he sure? What the fuck?
I know.
Oh, my God.
I don't know if you remember...
Go to previous. Go to previous.
Go
that's
to
what
previous?
You see.
Previous. I don't know how to operate this fucking website. How do I go to previous? Back to album. Next. I don't have a previous.
Yeah, you go back... If you hit previous enough, you go back to, like, the Ali Andrazi that
no
we all
previous.
Know and love.
I don't even have a previous. Fuck. Facebook. Goodbye.
Here. Hold on. You ready?
I'll screenshot. I can't do it.
Oh. I could. Here, what? Wait, you ready for this? Here's one.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah, this guy. Yeah.
Here.
Gotta give it to this guy.
I gotta give it to Ali Andrazi. Like, yeah. Hands down,
oh
the
God.
Hands down now, the
oh
most
my
fit.
God. Wow. Yeah. How old is this picture? 2012?
Yeah. So, you ready for this?
Fucking shit.
I don't know if you remember.
Holy shit.
Ali Entrazi was actually our national champion.
That's fucking unbelievable. Look at
not
that
our
guy.
National champion.
He only lost like
US.
Fucking three other Ali Entrazis.
There you go. Do that one.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What a sweaty fat fuck he used to be, and now he's just ripped as shit. Look at this. Yeah. Look at this guy.
Yeah. We've had like, him on the show, that. Right?
We've had him on the show.
No, I know we had him on the goddamn show. Holy fuck.
Yeah. So hey. It's been sweet. Like, he's definitely, hands down, the most fit MTG player.
Wow.
For sure.
That's fucking good for him. I don't know if I like the fucking kitty tattoo there.
But he started this rampage like after he became a single dad, right?
No, it was before that. So he was with
a
girl.
Also,
yes.
Why doesn't anybody talk about any of this shit?
Ali Entrazi. He was so he was in a relationship, a long term relationship, and then it broke. Right. Yeah. So they broke up, and he was just like, "This is ridiculous." And as every when
was he in a long term relationship when he was fat?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so then, of course, you break up, and, of course, guys, our number one revenge is just, I'm going to get hot.
And fuck your sister, yeah.
Fuck your sister, yeah. So he got hot, and then I guess, like he lost a pile of weight, and then I think shortly thereafter, he was basically said, oh, yeah, by the way, here, you're a dad. And I guess he fought for custody of the child and won.
Yeah. Mm,
cool.
And so now he's a single dad. He's found himself a really good girl who apparently treats him really well. And being a dad is amazing. And I'm so proud of him. And as soon as he announced it, I was like, I was all over him. And I'm like, hey, anything at all that you need or want to talk about, I'm your Huckleberry, right? And so we keep in touch and chat on a stream and stuff like that. And yeah, he's just like, seriously, unreal rip, this guy.
Yeah.
His story's fantastic.
Fuck.
Man, that's fucking sweet.
If we're copying pictures, I'm just going to put something in here, and I just want to let you know how ridiculous things are getting already.
This is a dick.
It's not even a fucking... It's not even a link. It's got a save as picture. I got to go fucking
save it.
I got to fucking open it. Fuck. Get with the times. It's fucking 2014. It should just pop out of my screen.
What is this? This Black Lotus nonsense.
What did we get the picture of? Here. All right, this is better. This is an ad that a guy just put up on that high-end group.
High-end.
That high-end magic group I was talking about, where, like, a lot of this stuff came out here. I just click on the link.
All right.
People are now actually putting, like, pictures of...
Available.
We're on the group, probably.
Fuck. Oh, shit. Whatever. And that's just fucked.
Just tell the story. For
okay, so it is, like, literally a picture of a person looking through a loop. So they've actually got, like, the high-end, like, magnifying glass picture of, like, the dot pattern on this lotus that this guy's trying to sell.
Great.
Yeah. Like, it is now at that point where this guy's trying to sell a lotus on this group, and he's got, like, three pictures of, like, super zoomed-in dot pattern and everything like that. It's the beat the shit out of lotus, but it's just nuts now. So.
Does it have the dots?
It's got a dot pattern. I don't know if it's right.
Great.
Yeah, but like that's the thing. If you're in the know, then you're in the know. But yeah,
This is what I want to talk about earlier. So for the cube, one thing that I kind of was staying away from was Cube Tutor, because I was like, I'm not all about these gimmicky things. And then everybody's always like, come use my site and fucking do this and do that. And then you go use their site and it's not intuitive. And then you're like, how the fuck do I do this? And they're like, oh, it's really great. You just click on 10 links and you're right there. And it's super intuitive because it's like starts with an A and then it goes, you know, the alphabet A, B, C, and A is 1 and 1 is 2, 2, 3, 4. And you're like, yeah, fuck you, buddy. So update, every website about Magic is like that. Every single fucking one. There's ads fucking everywhere. It's just garbage. So anyway, I was like, oh my god, I keep buying foils. Like, the last four orders I've made from face-to-face games, I think I bought a foil Cloud Goat Ranger and a foil Riftwing Cloud Skate. Every single order. And then I go into face-to-face games the next day, and I'm like, oh, I wonder if they have Cloud Goat Rangers. Nope, they don't. Alright, put a foil one on my wish list. And then they get one, and I get an email, and then I buy it, and then I go to update my cube, and I'm like, what the fuck? Why do I have 10 fucking... God damn it. So I'm like, alright, I'm gonna update my foil list. And some guy, I don't remember who, was like, you should try the Cube Tutor. And I was like, ugh, I've heard about this. And then he was like, yeah, you can even mark foils and shit. And I was like, all right, I guess I'll take a look. Because I really don't want to go through all my foil list and delete stuff and add new stuff. It's actually fucking super awesome. It's the best website ever made. And only because that website that KYT was going to make didn't get made. What was that website called? MTG Link
Dump. MTG Link Dump.
Yeah, MTGLinkDump.com. That never got made. And you know, if it had gotten made, I would have known about Ali Antrazi not being fat and having a kid and having a great life. But no, I don't know anything about that shit. So,
it's Reddit.
It's super
it's
good.
Way to drop the ball.
Yeah, idiot.
Reddit's already been done.
Yeah, no wonder your fucking website's garbage. So, anyway, you go to the CubeTutor site, and it's got some garbage at the front there that I don't care about. But I'm sure some people care about it, because everybody cares about all this garbage. And but then you can just upload your cube. It's super fast. And the really cool thing about your cube thing, card thingy, is when you hover over it, first of all, it has the image of the card. Second, when you type your card in to add, it, like, lets you pick different versions. So, like, if you have a Loxodon Warhammer that's, like, original uncommon, from
Mirrodin,
then you put in that. If you have the special one with the different art from the dual deck or the fucking, I think it's Phyrexia versus the Coalition, maybe, then you can put that one, and that's the picture that goes in there. So when someone's looking at the visual spoiler, which they have, of your cube, they see that you have these foils, and they see that you have this altar, and you can put your altars in there. And, oh, full art, oh, cool, from Game.
Can you scan the altar?
I'm looking at, there's a Huntmaster of the Fell here with the extended border, I'm looking at.
Yeah, and, like, some of them aren't just extended borders, some of them are, like, really, really crazy altars. And so I think you can do that, you can have your fucking cube on this thing, okay? Then you can click on View List. It just shows you a list. It shows you the numbers, how many creatures you got. It puts them in order. It puts them in casting cost order. How many colorless cards do you have total? And how many of those are artifacts? How many of those are artifact creatures? How many of those are just creatures? How many lands you got, right? You got red, you got creatures, you got instants, you got sorceries. How many of those? Then you could click on Draft. And I've been doing this fucking, oh my God. I've been drafting my own cube by myself with nobody, like probably 10 times a day, probably 20 times a day. It's fucking so awesome. Because now I can cube whenever I want. I don't have to wait for 6 Jobins to tell me that they're going to cube and then cancel. Then, on top of that, you can go to analysis, which is just right there at the button. It says analysis. And it says, oh, how many white cards do you have? Oh, you have 72 white cards, which is 11.4% of your cube. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. What about the pimp chart? Oh, well, your cube size is, you know, 600 cards, and about 400 of those are foiled. Oh, fucking sweet. And then you go to the draft chart. Whoa, look at this Grim Monolith. Grim Monolith has been picked, like, over 40 times in each draft, or in all the drafts, but it's only been passed, you know, like, twice. Probably for, like, a Jason Mind Sculptor, maybe. And you could compare all that stuff. That's super important information for people that want a cube. So if anybody like me is an idiot and didn't go to the Cube Tutor, fucking go there, man. It's better than mtglinkdump.com. Mostly because it exists, but also because, obviously, it's...
Wow. This is pretty good.
It's a
very positive rant. Good positive rant.
It's fucking sweet. Look at this. Boom. Visual spoiler.
That was a sick segment.
Vanguard.
Yeah.
Fucking Savannah Lion.
And we need more of this game. We need more of this.
Just fact check. It sounds like the upload thing is something that's coming in the future, but they have it on the one that they show on the site just to like tell you like this is what's coming. But
there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Everything else is super sick.
Fuck. You can even do a sealed. I forgot about that. And it'll save your decks too. Like,
oh, I totally first picked this library.
If I click on Jay's Cube, which is the... maybe I'll get Kyle to put that in the show notes.
You should do that.
But it's just cubetutor.com/cubeblog/6972. 6972. So anyway, if I click on decks, I can see what people have drafted in my cube, and I can see what they built. Like, how fucking cool is that? Like, I can go in and I can say, oh, look at this, two-sided triangles draft. His name's Brian, good friend of ours of the show. We email back and forth. He drafted a blue-black control deck. It's got a Skull Clamp in there, Deathrite Shaman, Carnophage, Enclave Cryptologist. That was a good one-drops. Terror. Spiketail Hatching. Phantasmal Image. See? You can see, oh, what did he sideboard? Oh, sideboarded a Chandra. A Phyrexian Obliterator. Didn't get to play the Obliterator. Probably took it kind of early. Tried to force the mono black because he's got a Gary and an Abhorrent Overlord. But I probably just couldn't rock that shit. Oh, he's got a Grave Titan too. That fancy.
Your cube has like got a whole bunch of fair cards in it.
Yeah, I don't like to play unfair. stuff. Mainly, see, this is the thing. I don't know if Jeremy put up the cute videos that we did because he tricked me into drafting and playing on MTGO. But we played a cube, and it was super fun. And we played a second cube. The first one kind of didn't go very well, but I got used to it. Played the second one. It was pretty fun. But he
One we drafted, and then I had to leave.
Yeah, I think we drafted a way better deck, but then he had to leave right in the middle. He just left me standing on the corner crying. But the thing with the Holiday Cube is that, like, it's a lot of very unfair decks, which is, like, it's the old adage of, like, if everything's overpowered, then nothing's overpowered because everything's equal powered. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, which is fine, and I agree with that. The only thing I don't like with something like that is because it's Magic and you're dealing with a lot of variants, is that, like, I really don't like, especially that it costs money, I really don't like, just being like, okay, let's draft. Oh, turn one fucking Karn. Great. I guess we go to game two, and I hope that doesn't happen. Sweet. You know?
Yeah.
That's all. That's why I have a lot of fair cards in there. But I'd like to power it up, and maybe I can get some help from some counterfeiters. Power it up a little bit.
So it's interesting, speaking of, like, amazing, sick-ass fucking proxies, apparently I'm getting a package. I think you and I are both getting a package from all the way down in Australia. Les Kershaw? Yeah. He's just waiting for
Australia?
Sets.
Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea.
So he listens to the show. Big shout out to this guy. Brandon Long from our contest, like our logo contest, has actually found a way to San Diego Comic-Con a pile of different planeswalkers.
Yeah, the black on black.
Yeah, it looks completely absurd. And there's like a whole ton of them. So what Les does, Les is really, really good at making the foils. And so he's actually gone ahead and made a pile of these proxies so that I can put them into cube and stuff. And, casual commander or whatever. And it's fucking retarded. They all look so good. Like, so good. It's not even fair. Anyways, it's Who Is Less on Twitter. So you guys should give him a follow.
Oh, I thought it was Who Isles.
Yeah, Who Is Less.
Fucking Who Isles.
Who is
this?
Who is Les? Les Kershaw.
There we go. Answered.
Oh, man. Same thing, Jay. I thought it was, like, Who Isles.
Yeah, I was like, everybody on Twitter has weird, stupid names. But no, it's just Who Is Les.
Here.
Not weird or stupid.
Yeah. Kind of regular.
There you go. As an example.
Yeah, they look pretty sweet.
They're sweet. They're very good.
Yeah, they're super, super nice. So, yeah. So, it's pretty exciting stuff. I have a special, before we wrap this all up, I do have one special shout out that I have to give.
Okay.
And so, longtime listener of our show, Chad Bach, okay? The show is one of the few Magic aspects that his wife enjoys as much as he does. Okay?
Okay.
And today, as we record, right now, is her birthday.
Happy birthday!
So it's happy birthday to Rachel. Rachel Bach. Thank you so much for all of your love and support and letting your husband play this ridiculous game and listen to us every week because we love the support and thank you very, very much. So everybody wish Rachel a happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday, Rachel. Next time we're all at a party type thing, if your husband lets it happen, we can do body shots.
Yeah. And that's why we call him Scumbag Scorpio.
Yep. What a fucking rapist.
What?
Nothing Man, rapey I, about no, that.
I'm so jazzed that I can look up old other people's fucking cube decks. Like, Durfington drafted my cube.
I just finished drafting your cube.
Let's see how well he did. He drafted a blue-white control deck and didn't play Brainstorm or Maze of Ith.
That seems bad.
He also didn't play Icy Manipulator?
I mean...
Or Doomblade?
The guy knows infinite martial arts now.
Alright.
He just doesn't need the weapons.
He already is the weapons.
That's right.
Maybe... And he's playing Armageddon? That's weird. Huh.
Armageddon Control?
Armageddon Control. Suck on that. Ged's dead. That guy I like. He played my cube fucking 10 times. Look at that shit. That's fucking awesome. Shout outs.
So yeah, so that's sweet.
There you have it, kids.
So see y'all next week. Don't forget, we have to give away, we have to take a look at our iTunes ratings. I keep looking at them on mobile and it's not working out so well.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Why do we have to do that right now?
I'm going to do this real quick.
Okay, so do we need to, like, tell people that, like, which, what? How are we doing this? How are we actually doing this?
That sounded, you know, have you seen The Sword and the Stone?
No.
You haven't seen The Sword and the Stone, the Disney movie?
No.
Oh my god, kill yourself.
That's not going to happen, Jay.
So, okay, so we have 10 ratings so far.
Wow, that's pretty good.
But 10 five-star ratings.
Okay.
But we only can see 3 reviews?
Okay. Oh, maybe they didn't write a review, so.
I guess. Well, we can give something out to Razzliz Rainmaker or Stuart T. Dale.
You guys choose. I'll abstain.
So here's your choice. Perfect for any Magic player to listen to during downtime. Funny guys wish they had more money so they could play more cards and decks and talk about those too. Or Stuart T. Dale, if you enjoy Magic enough to listen to podcasts about it and don't have an aversion to lewdness, then these podcasts are all you will ever need.
Ooh.
That's pretty good.
I went with the third one because random.org gave me a 3.
That's the same one.
What?
Yeah. All right, sweet. So we'll give Stuart T. Dale something. Hit us up in the comments and let us know how to find you. Stuart T. Dale.
Yeah. You're fucking joking.
Anyways, you guys got to make sure when you write your reviews that you write something. Don't just, like, rank it. It's really important. But subscribe to our iTunes feeds and we'll give away stuff. Pretty sweet, huh?
Don't forget to like us on Facebook, too, because everybody apparently still goes to that site. And also, that's important.
I'm pretty active on that site too, so if you guys are ever have questions or comments, we're putting it's a good way to get at us because we're all that information is being tabulated and received.
And you can find us on Twitter, which is where you should talk to me the most because it's fast and I don't want to talk to you for very long. I just want to talk to you a lot, but at short bursts. You know what I'm saying?
Very true. This is totally Jay.
I don't
want to
read your fucking about your fucking kids while also reading about how you like my show. I just want to read about like my show, ask me a question, give the answer. Boom, boom, boom. Nobody has to talk about kids. Perfect.
Hey, Jay.
Yeah.
When are you and Beans having kids?
Oh!
I don't know. Hopefully never.
Really?
Really?
I don't know. I don't want your kids, man. I don't want kids.
Ugh, I don't want your kids.
You wouldn't have my kids. You'd have your own kids.
Like, my kids, everyone will hate that kid, and then, like, that sucks, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Kids are good.
I mean, I'm sure your kids are good, but everybody hates your kids. You know, you don't hate your kids. Everybody else hates your kids because kids are shitty. You know?
I don't hate my kids.
No, you don't hate your kids. I hate your kids. Everybody hates your kids.
You don't hate my kids.
No.
Scotty's actually got the exception to this rule. Like, he was told that his kid is the cutest, so.
Yeah, that's true.
By other people. Well, and I don't think they would lie to him for that. No. They could, but it just doesn't seem like it's good value.
No. But he lied. Bad value about lying. Now, there are some babies that it's worth lying about. Oh, that baby's so cute.
Well, not even that, but what about, like...
Hey, lady, let me hold your monkey.
Hit it more. Hit it in the face. It'll stop.
Agree. Children need to be beaten. I agree.
Like, fuck. No, I'm just going to take it to a public place and then fucking let it just run around and scream and wreck things. And, oh, well, I don't believe in parenting and limits and rules.
That's the worst.
Fuck you. Yeah.
The worst. Die. Yeah,
and also, you can't discipline my kids, so if my kid's at your house and breaks something and I don't do anything, you can't say anything. Uh-huh. Nope. Nope. Fuck you.
Nope that shit.
Yep, nope that shit right in its ass.
With that, we'll see you all next week.
Bye!
Bye.
Bye.
I'll have my my modern Tribal Flames deck ready for the side event. Good to go. So that's sweet. Bueller.
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 You guys do that a lot.
What? Stop talking? Yeah. Or Bueller?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. So Kyle can just put in his famous...
Waka-wah?
So...